I'm one of those people who has been tantalized by the flying dream for years, and scuba diving is the closest thing I know to flying. And for someone who is 6'5" and less sylph-like than, to pick a name at random, the Princess of Wales, the sensation of weightlessness is an ecstatic one. Also, I usually vomit on the way back, which is a good way of working up an appetite. We reached the reef, moored, got into our wetsuit gear, and prepared to dive. At low tide, the reef usually breaks the surface of the water. You can even walk on it, though that is now discouraged because of the damage it can cause. Even when the tide is high, though, reef diving is not a deep diving sport. Most of what there is to see lies in the upper 30 feet, and there's really any cause to go deeper than 60 feet. The very deepest a sports diver can go is about 90 feet, but there's really not a lot of point. You're usually looking at bare rock rather than coral at that depth, and Boyle's Law means that you use up your air much faster down there. Also, you have to spend much more time on the surface between dives if you're not going to get the bends. The sub-bug keeps you at a safe maximum depth of 30 feet. I wanted to do a regular dive first to get my bearings. Two at a time, we clamped our masks and regulators to our faces, did the big stride off the diving deck back of the boat, and dropped into the water in an eruption of bubbles. A moored dive boat always attracts the attention of a lot of local fish, who expect, usually rightly, that they will get fed. The ones you'll get to see, if you're lucky, are the Maori wrasses, which are extraordinary pale olive-green creatures about the size of a Samsonite suitcase. They have large, protuberant mouths and very heavy, protuberant brows, but the reason for the name Maori wrasse, any Australian will assure you apologetically, is because of some paint-like markings on their brow. Australians are not racists anymore. There were quite a few wrasses about the boat, and I made the mistake of getting between a couple of them and some pieces of bread that someone had thrown from the boat. The animals blithely barged past me to get at the food. I sank down to the reef in the huge space of water and light beneath the boat, and drifted easily round it for a while to get used to being underwater again, and then came back to the boat to divest myself of my scuba tank and collect the sub-bug. Together, Ian and I hauled it into the water. I got myself into position behind the thing and started it up. One of the curious features of scuba diving is that your suit and equipment seem so heavy and cumbersome and unwieldy on the surface, which is one of the things that tends to frighten beginners. But once you descend below the water level, everything begins to flow smoothly and easily, and the trick is to exert yourself absolutely as little as possible in order to conserve oxygen. It is almost, by definition, the least aerobic sport there is. It won't make you fit. At first, I was disappointed that the sub-bug wouldn't move me faster than I could swim. We were gently pulling our way down, but as I started to get used once more to the slowness with which everything happens under